Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The story is told of a man who once got lost in a desert. The water in his flask had run out 2 days prior, and he knew that if he didn't find water soon, he would soon die. Just then, the man saw a hut off in the distance. He thought it might be a hallucination, but he knew he had no other option. And as he moved forward in direction of that hut, he realized it was real. He reached the hut and he opened the door. He found that it was not occupied and it looked like it had been abandoned a long time before. And that's when he saw it. Behind the abandoned hut was an old water pump. The man began working the hand pump, but no matter how much he worked, no water was coming out of it. He kept at it, but still nothing happened. Finally, he gave up in exhaustion and frustration. He felt like he was going to die. Just then, he noticed that there was a bottle in the corner of the hut. It was filled with water, and it was corked up. Quickly, he grabbed the bottle and was about to gulp down the water when he noticed that there was a piece of paper attached to it. Use this water to start the pump. Don't forget to fill the bottle again when you are done, is what was written on the paper. What a dilemma, he thought to himself. What do I do? If I pour the water into the pump, what assurance do I have that it's going to work? What if the pump malfunctions? What if the underground reservoir is long dried up? Even if the instruction is correct, should I risk it? If it turns out to be false, then I would be pouring away the last water I would probably ever drink before I die. And so the man closed his eyes, said his prayers, and then with trembling hands, he poured the water into the pump and started working the pump. A little while later, he heard a gurgling sound, and then water came gushing out more than he could ever possibly use. He drank his fill, got refreshed, filled his flask, and then also refilled the bottle and put the cork back in. After feeling much better, he looked around the hut. He found a pencil, and before leaving the hut, he put the bottle back in the place he found it, and he added in his own writing below this instruction, "Believe me, it works." I love this story because it really is a story of faith, isn't it? You can take that bottle full of water and drink it up and be immediately refreshed, but you know it's going to run out. Or you can do what it says, place it in the water pump, and trust that eventually there's going to be more water than you could ever need. Believe me, he said, it works. A story of faith. Well, we as Christians are people of faith, aren't we? But we're not faith and faith. We're not just faith that somehow, some way, it's all going to work out, right? Our faith is in a person. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. God calls us to trust in Him. And sometimes, just like with that story, He calls us to trust even when we can't see the end result. In Romans chapter 10, it says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." I know we've been hearing this promise, some of us, our entire life, but take a moment just to look at it and imagine that you're reading it for the very first time. What an amazing promise this is. Notice that there's nowhere up there in Romans 10 that it talks about anywhere earning your salvation, earning heaven. There's nothing up there about earning it. If anybody has earned it, it's Jesus Christ who has earned it in our place. Jesus has done everything that was necessary on that cross so that all you and I have to do is declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. And the promise is this, you will be saved. Believe me, it works. As a pastor that's been doing this for almost 22 years, I've sat with a lot of people as they have left this world. And the people that believe this to be true, they die with amazing peace. Amazing peace. It works. That's the first promise that God wants us to believe. And if we don't believe that, then everything else doesn't matter. God wants us to believe that Jesus has done everything for us. And now all I need to do is just believe in my heart and express with my mouth that Jesus is who he says he is, and I will be saved. But after I begin to believe that promise, then God wants me to start believing all of his promises in the Bible. I oftentimes call the Bible God's promise book because there's a lot of promises in there. And our God is not a man that he would lie about any of them. If he says it, he intends to keep it, and he always does. Now, that's different than what we're used to in this world. We live in a world of broken promises, but God's not like that. He always keeps every one of his promises, and we're going to be looking for the majority of the rest of this sermon in one of God's amazing promises that we read responsively at the beginning of this service. From Psalm 91. I was thinking about it this week that out of all the Psalms, it's probably top five when it comes to most beloved Psalms in the Bible. Next to Psalm 23, maybe 121, maybe 139, Psalm 91 has to be up there. And people love this Psalm and have memorized this Psalm. A few years ago, I memorized this Psalm. And in it are almost unbelievable promises. But God wants us to believe them because he said it and he intends to keep them. It starts out, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He who puts his trust in God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that a great word? You can rest. You don't have to be all nervous and scared your whole life. You can rest in him because he wants to be your refuge. He wants to be the place that you run to, your hiding place, when things are going rough in your life. And then look at this very next word in verse 3. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Do you believe that? Do you believe it in such a way that you would be able to say that same word, surely he's going to help me? Surely. That takes great faith, right? When you are going through a difficult thing in your life, maybe it is pestilence, maybe it is a sickness, or maybe you're in dire straits in some other area of your life. When you call out to him, can you say, surely he's going to come to my rescue? Surely he's going to save me? That takes faith, doesn't it? Martin Luther was once quoted as saying this, God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. In other words, God wants us to believe every one of his promises. And when we can say, surely he's going to be good to this promise, then we actually get what we believe. So if everything is dependent upon faith, where do I get faith to be able to say, surely he's coming? It says in Romans 10, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you want to grow in your faith? The Bible tells us where you can get it, in the word of God, by hearing it, by reading it. The more you do it, the more your faith is going to grow. Over the last 22 years, when people have come into my office and they've said, Pastor, I just am really struggling with faith. It doesn't seem like I have the same faith as I used to have. I'll always ask this question first. Are you in the Word of God on a regular basis? And most of the time, the answer is, well, no. And I'll always say, Romans 10 says that faith comes by hearing the Word. You start getting into that word, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of the week. You start listening to Christian podcasts. You start listening to Christian radio. As you let that word get into you, your faith is going to grow. And you're going to be able to say, surely God is able to help me. Surely God is going to be good to every one of his promises to me. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. I love this picture. It's the picture of a mother hen or a mother goose covering over her young with her wings, sheltering them from the storm or from any harm or danger. That's what the Lord wants to be for you as his child. He wants to cover you as that mother hen covers her chicks, to protect you from all harm and danger in your life as well. And then he says, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Hey, I got to tell you, in the last 5 years since 2020, I have talked to so many people that said, I am living in fear. Every day, I'm just scared every day. I hear that all the time. And when you look at this world around us, or you read all the things that people are scared of up here in Psalm 91, there's a lot. There's a lot of things that the world is scared of each day. But here's the blessing. If you're a Christian, if you are a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, you don't have to fear any of it. The terror of night, the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence in the darkness, the plague at midday, you don't have to be scared of any of it. In Romans 10, it says, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And since it says, as Scripture says, I thought, well, that means that it's quoting something from the Old Testament. So I went back to the Old Testament, to Isaiah 28, and this is what it was quoting. He says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. Who's he talking about there? Jesus. And the one who relies on Jesus will never be stricken with panic. Well, that's what he's talking about in Psalm 91. You don't have to be scared of anything if you have put your trust in the sure foundation that is Jesus Christ. Whoever relies on him will never be stricken with panic. So many people I talk to over the last few years say, I deal with panic attacks. So many people are now on SSRIs and all this other kind of stuff, trying to keep from panicking and being scared every day of their life. But as those that put their trust in Jesus, you will never be stricken with panic. What a promise. And God wants us to believe, surely, that He can do that. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. You see, Satan wants you to think that because of your sin, and you know what your sin is, that you're just like everybody else. And so the things that people are going through, and by the way, because of television and internet, the world is a lot smaller now, right? And we see all kinds of horrible things all over the world every day as we watch the news. And Satan wants you to think that you're as susceptible to all those other things as everybody else is. And so you should be really scared. But look at what it says up here. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Can that possibly be? In Psalm 5, it says this, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield." That word favor is a precious, precious word. God wants us to believe this, that if you believe in Jesus and have been baptized, you have his favor over your life. And that means that what all the world is going through, he is looking upon you with his favor, so that that same thing that's going on all over the world, these nightmares that people are going through, he is watching over you in the middle of those things. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. So as we've been going through this, is anyone thinking, is he saying that if I believe in Jesus, nothing bad is ever going to happen to me? And the answer, unfortunately, is no, he's not saying that. But look at what it says in Isaiah 54. He says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." What's he saying? He's not saying that no weapon will ever be formed against you. Oh, there will be plenty. As long as you live here on this earth, we've got enemies. The world, Satan, our own sinful flesh, there's going to be a lot coming our way. And it's going to feel like sometimes you've got problems coming at you from every direction. Those are the weapons that are formed against you. But what God wants you and I to believe is that surely when those weapons are formed against us, because we have his favor and blessing, not because of anything we've done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross, in the end, they won't prosper. They will be formed against us, but they won't prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is not from us, it's from him. It's from Jesus. When God looks down upon us who believe and are baptized, he says, "I see you as righteous." And then all of these things are yours. Here's our very important point for today, and it's this. Faith is when you place all your trust in God and his promises, and you hold on to them even when initially it looks bad. When those weapons formed against you start coming at you from every direction, it's going to look bad. And you're going to be tempted to fear, to get scared. You're going to start thinking about the worst case scenario of what can happen. And it's at that point that faith says, hold on to God. Hold on to his promises. No weapon formed against me will in the end prosper. God in his way and in his timing is coming to help me. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know when it's going to come, but it's coming. That's what faith is. It's holding on to him. It's waiting on him, trusting in his promises, especially when things look really bad. Because he's a God of his word, and he always keeps it. The temptation is to give up on God and try to get what we need or what we want in ways that aren't pleasing to him. I shared last night that in one of my previous churches, I was counseling with a lady, and she was an amazing lady of faith. Like, she knew the Bible, and it just came out of her mouth so easily. And whenever a bad thing would happen in her life, she would immediately start calling out to God and putting her trust in those promises. But if God didn't come through in 24 hours, she bailed on him and went to go fix it herself. And every time she messed it up. And we went through this over and over and over again. And finally, I was getting frustrated. And I said, tell me a little bit about your past. And she shared the story with me. She said, one day she woke up as a little girl and she looked out the window and she saw her dad was packing all of his stuff in the car to leave. And she knew, even as a little girl, that he was leaving their family. She ran out the door. She ran into his arms and she said, Dad, take me with you. And he pushed her away and said, go back to your mother. And all of a sudden, it all made sense. You're looking at God like you look at your earthly father. You're running to him. Take me with you. Help me. And you think that God's just going to push you away. God is not like that. He is the God of his word. Now, he has his perfect timing. He has his perfect ways, and we may not understand it. But I know this. He is going to be a God of his word. When you call out to him, something is going to happen that wouldn't have happened if you didn't. You call out to him, and then you put your trust in him, and don't bail and try to fix it on your own. See, this is what Satan was trying to get Jesus to do. In our readings for today from our gospel, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus had been not eating for 40 days. And so Satan says, you can fix it. Fix it yourself. What was he appealing to? The bodily wants and needs that we have. And you have bodily wants and needs as well. And when you call out to God, God in his own way, in his own timing, is going to fulfill those things because he loves you. Don't bail and try to fix it your own way. If you don't have enough money to make ends meet, call out to God. Don't try to fix it yourself. If you're struggling with bodily needs, ask God to help you. Don't look to this stuff. It may help for a minute, but it's going to be far worse on the other side. God's got something better for you. The devil then led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give all of the authority and splendor of these things. It's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours. What was he appealing to? The desire for advancement. And maybe you have a desire for advancement. Maybe you've been working in a job, and you just can't seem to get ahead. You can't seem to get that raise that you know that you need to make ends meet. Call out to God. Don't bail and try to fix it yourself. Don't lie on your resume or cheat on the test or climb that ladder and push everyone else down so that you can go up higher. You don't have to do those things. You have a God who's faithful to you to help you. In His timing, in His way, He will not let you go. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. The temple, where all the people would gather. What was he trying to appeal to? The desire for fame and recognition. Maybe you desire recognition as well. Go before the Lord and ask him to meet that need in your life. Don't bail and try to fix it on your own by making other people feel worse so that you can somehow feel better, by bragging on yourself, or in the worst case scenario, selling your soul to get it. Like so many celebrities that I've read about in the last few years have done in order to get those spots. I've oftentimes asked, how could this person ever make all that money doing music when they can't sing? How can this person ever be a movie star when they're a terrible actor and they don't even look nice? Many celebrities have given their souls over to Satan in order to get it. You don't have to do that. You have a God who is fighting for you. And like I said, when you do some of these other things, it's not only bad for your temporal life, it can also affect your eternal life as well. But you have a God who is faithful to every one of his promises. The people in our Old Testament lesson learned this, didn't they? The Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. And then what did they do? They cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice, saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to the place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. When they were in the middle of their oppression, what did they do? They called out to God. But you know what? God didn't come to their rescue right away. They had to wait on him. They had to trust in him for a little while. But God proved that he was a God of his word, and he did come to help them. He brought us to this place and gave us the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. What is the only proper response when God comes to our rescue? To give him thanks and praise. You're going to go through hard things. There's going to be lots of weapons that are going to be formed against you. But in the midst of all of them, you have promises made by a promise-keeping God. And as you inundate yourself with the Word of God, your faith is going to grow so that you're going to be able to say, surely he's coming. I don't know how and I don't know when, but he's coming, and so I can rest and he'll give me strength in the middle of it. Hold on to Jesus. He's faithful to you. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.